translation. The king said, I wish to know narrations concerning the Lord who possesses wonderful potencies are certainly auspicious for living beings in all planets. Thank you. Yes, it's a wonderful verse in a section. This is the beginning of chapter. And Maharaj Parikshit here is expressing to Shukadev Goswami his eagerness to know. This desire to know is a very important factor for advancement in spiritual life. Most of us at a certain time in our lives, we get this urge to know. By nature, the spirit soul is full of knowledge, and therefore this is a natural urge. It can manifest in many ways. One of the ways it could manifest is that people just want to learn new things every day. That's why we have the news. There's so many news. Always new news. But the real knowledge that can affect us and can influence our lives in a positive way is the knowledge concerning our spiritual, true spiritual identity. So the example of Parikshit Maharaj is very significant, because he was in a position where he was about to die. He knew that he's only got 7 days to live. And in this position, if someone is told that, okay, so you've got only several days to live, I'm sure that one would try and live their life in the best possible way. And this is exactly what he is doing. He is engaging himself in the process of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is such a wonderful literature that it's actually representing Krishna in this world, in this age of Kali, where there is so much materialism, so much sinful activities are being performed. People are so forgetful of the meaning of life and the goal of life. And the only light that we can get in this age of Kali is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the only light which can dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga. We can see around us, there's everyone is engaged in so many meaningless activities, trying to pursue sense gratification, material happiness, and no one really comes to a point when they feel fully satisfied and say, yes, I got it together. Everyone wants to get more and more, and once they get the desired result, they feel that they're not completely satisfied, so they try to find something else. And the only way we can make spiritual advancement is by being fortunate enough to come in touch with the devotees of the Lord, and also because the devotees of the Lord, they are transmitting this knowledge which is coming down from so many spiritual masters in disciplic succession. In this verse, Maharaj Parikshit is expressing his desire to know. I wish to know. He says, I wish to know. So this desire to know is, as we said, is in everyone, but it's not sufficient to know anything. You have to know the right thing. So in the case of Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, we have the perfect situation where a spiritual master is instructing a disciple, his disciple, in transcendental knowledge. And in order for this knowledge to have effect on someone, it has to be received in the proper manner. One important thing I can see in this purport is that the Srimad Bhagavatam is, or narrations about the Supreme Lord, are auspicious for all living beings. It doesn't, that means for everyone, not just for a particular group of people. Like, for example, we are Hare Krishnas, we follow the path of Bhakti Yoga, we follow the path of Krishna consciousness. But actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is auspicious not only for devotees, followers of Krishna, it's auspicious for everyone. And it's, in other words, Prabhupada says, it's not sectarian. So we should not think that this book is only meant for Hindus, or this scripture, this knowledge is only meant for a particular type of class of people. It's for everyone. Every person on the planet is supposed to receive this knowledge, because this is the knowledge, this is the only real knowledge, the knowledge of the soul. And everyone's constitutional position is to be a servant of God, to be connected with the Supreme Lord. So reviving this knowledge is essential for every individual. That's why devotees are so eager to, especially during the month of December, to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, because they realize how important it is for everyone in this world to receive this knowledge. Now, if it was not for the devotees, many people will remain in a state of ignorance, completely oblivious. There are still, it's quite surprising, but there are still so many people who never even heard the name Krishna. People who don't understand anything about spiritual life, completely immersed in their materialistic activities, completely oblivious of what's going on, and not realizing the fact that their life is being wasted, like completely uselessly. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the only transcendental literature, the only book which can dissipate that darkness of Kali Yuga. And it's very auspicious. in the Padma Purana, there's a section called Srimad Bhagavata, what is it called? It's describing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. It skipped my mind. Anyway, there's a section in the Padma Purana Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya, which describes a very interesting story. It's the story, you might have heard this story. It's a story which was told, it was a conversation between Narada Muni and the four Kumaras. So they were describing to Narada Muni the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this story, it is said that the Kumaras explained to Jai Shri Radha Gopala. The Kumaras explained to Narada Muni that even if someone who only reads, if someone who reads one verse a day, hears one verse a day, he is the pious activity accumulated by this activity is equal to an Ashwamedha Yajna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is so glorious that it can liberate even sinners, even if someone is committing very serious sinful activities, like, for example, living with their own spiritual master's wife, something really obnoxious thing, you can imagine anything, even the sin of killing a brahmana, still they can be liberated if they hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Kumaras were glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam in front of Narada Muni, and then Narada Muni requested them to tell them to give him example of if there was any account in history of someone who actually became liberated like that. So they were, the four Kumaras, they told the story of one person, Gokarna. It's a very long story, and I don't think I'll have time. But in essence, there was a sinful man who was performing all kinds of sinful activities. He had It's a lot of wonderful descriptions of what kind of activities he was doing. But anyway, so he was performing so many sinful activities, and there was no chance for him for any salvation. And what actually happened is his brother was given the task of liberating him through the Srimad Bhagavatam. So actually that person, he died and he became a ghost, and he was suffering very much in this condition. And therefore, it was prescribed that Srimad Bhagavatam should be read to him. And after 7 days, he was liberated from that ghostly condition. So there's many, many wonderful stories glorifying the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And unfortunately, I don't feel qualified to properly glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm just trying to say a few words, because we have 5-10 minutes left. If anyone wants to ask any question or say something in relation to this verse.
Haribol, thank you. You brought up a point which I find quite interesting. You say Bhagavatam's for everyone. Now, what do we say if someone from another tradition says Bible's for everyone and Quran's for everyone? And are we going to? What if someone says the Bible's for everyone, the Quran's for everyone? Are we going to say, no, your religion isn't universal? Or are we going to say, yes, your religion is universal? Because based on the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, you can find statements both ways, as far as I can see. Mm.
So you're asking, okay, it sounds like a sectarian statement itself, that if a devotee says the Bhagavatam is for everyone, it's not just for one religion or one country, one person, but it's for everyone. And how is that different from what the Christians are saying, that there's only one God, it's one for everyone, like that? So what would you personally answer this question? How would you personally answer this question?
Thanks for throwing it back at me. I would, I'll answer, then I'll let you decide what you would answer. I would, personally speaking, if I was speaking to someone, I think from the point of view of ego, it's actually probably counterproductive to try and force the person to understand that there's something sectarian about what they may think. So although part of our teachings do say, you know, Kaitava Dharma, there's cheating religion, and there's aspects in some other traditions that are cheating, I think if you tell someone from that tradition that their religion is cheating, it might be counterproductive. So I would tend to go with other statements, like, for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying that if we find pure devotion in another tradition, you know, we honour and respect it, and we just accept that, yes, there's the pure devotion is in your line. That's how I would personally try and do it. But, and if you could, you know, be nice enough, you might find they warm to you, and then you could maybe subtly point out some little parts that you think they could improve on. But it's all very hypothetical.
Yes, there's there's a nice book by, actually, it's a conversation book which contains conversations between Satyaraj Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, who is actually very scholarly devotee, and one Christian father, like a pastor, yeah. So they discuss many wonderful points, sharing about their different religions. And if you read this book, you can actually get you can see that all religions ultimately are trying to serve one God and glorify one God, but they do it in different way, according to their realization, according to the teachings that they've been given by their spiritual leaders and propounders of their faith. But in everyone is common this strive for spiritual unity and enlightenment. And of course, this division is there. People like to say we're the best. And most people tend to think that way. But this actually is due to their narrow-mindedness. they are not able to see the unity of everything. No matter how your religious beliefs, your profession is expressed, everyone has this innate desire to eulogize something superior, and like even in people who don't believe there's a God, they think that there's some great things and they have respect for them and like that. So if someone challenges us about whether our religion is higher than theirs or whether theirs is higher, you know, if they argue in this way, I think ultimately it's due to their lack of understanding. There's a nice story which Radhanath Maharaj tells. You know, it's in there. In his travels in India, he once was living for some time with two very interesting people. One of them was a Hindu, and the other one was a Muslim. So they would meet every day and discuss. One would speak on the basis of the Quran, and the other would speak on the basis of the Hindu scriptures, the Vedas, yes, and like that. And Radhanath Maharaj shares in that story that he was wondering how is it possible people in this world have so many divisions, and they say we're different and we're better than you and like that, you know, all this fighting among different religions. And so he asked them, how is it possible, you know, he asked these two people, how is it possible that you every day you sit and discuss your religious scriptures, and you seem to be like in complete agreement with each other, and there's no fight and like that. And then that person, who actually Radhanath Swami was staying at that time with him, he said that if God comes, a faithful dog will always recognize its master, regardless of what clothes he comes in. So he may be dressed in different ways, completely different, and another time he can come and be completely differently dressed, but still he will recognize him. So he said, in the same way, I see that my master is represented also in his faith. I mean, this is the same master, it's not a different person. We're talking about the same person, but in different ways, from different angles of vision or different points of view. So like that, this unity requires broad-mindedness, and unfortunately most of us are very much influenced by sectarianism and narrow-mindedness. Prabhupada would always be very encouraging to people of different faiths, and I recall one conversation between him and some monks in Australia or New Zealand. So, and Prabhupada was encouraging them to practice their Christianity nicely, like that. He would not discourage people from practicing their faiths. So like that. There's unity. Yes.
Regarding what Govinda Prabhu was just asking and what you have kindly answered, religion was created by Krishna.
Sorry. I wasn't expecting it.
Yes. Religion was created by Krishna to purify the Ahankara. The Ahankara, Lord Shiva is in charge of this, so we have to respect that. But I heard Prabhupada's lecture, and I read it also, Bhashila Prabhupada, and he's saying that if we are sincere in our hearts and we practice properly, then when we preach to these people, they will become better in their religion. They will, if they're Christians or Muslims or whatever else, they will become better Christians, better Muslims. Because it's true that Srimad Bhagavatam is not sectarian, and it applies to the destruction of the false ego. But then we cannot do this on our own, with our own strengths and knowledge and conditionings that we have. We are standing to make an offense to someone that we are trying to preach and from another religion. We have to respect. The Ahankara is thinking, I can't be making any mistake. I am correct always. So when you go and say that your religion is better or anything like that, the Ahankara builds a wall. They will fight you. They don't want to hear.
Yeah.
But if we are convinced and our character is following suit, then they will become better devotees of God in their religion, and eventually they will be like the Muslim and the Hindu that you were describing.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes, very good point. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. I think God created so many religions or to meet people. Are there different points of need according to their levels of consciousness? So everyone can be peaceful where they are, where they're at exactly. Because they're at the point of their evolution in their consciousness, and they may not take to something higher, not maybe in this life, and they should be left to be happy. Because God, you know, is trying to meet them at their points of needs to fulfill according to their consciousness. And so therefore, so we could, and such people, they could engage in a quarrel, could get into a fight because we're trying to introduce something else to them, which they think, okay, this is an imposition. I'm happy with where I am, because they should be happy with where they are according to their consciousness. Some of us coming from that tradition, Christian tradition and other traditions, and we took to this process because we were looking for something. We were ready to move up. Mm-hmm. Some people are completely happy where they are, and that's fine.
Yeah. Yes, good points, yeah. We should not, I think there's also in Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, there is there's one verse where it says that if someone is engaged in certain ways, for example, in performing some religious activities, then a self-realized person should not disturb their mind, but you know, discouraging them to be engaged in this way. It's always better to see how you can engage them rather than discourage them to do something. How you can, Prabhupada used to do that. You know, he was very expert in this. That he used to say dovetailing. Yeah, he was able to take any person from any condition, you know, any state in their life and like that, and engage them, use what they have. He was so expert in channeling that devotion that everyone has naturally in them. So he was a very expert like that. And certainly Srimad Bhagavatam, also in the first canto, it describes how there are many divisions of Vedic literatures, and they are there because Srimad Bhagavatam is the Vedic scriptures are like a net, you know, like you go fishing, you throw your net. So, because there's so many divisions of Vedic literatures, many people can be caught in that net, because there's something that they can attach themselves to, something they can identify with themselves with. There are different levels, so they can come to get in touch with the Vedic scriptures and this knowledge in some way or other. So it's not that everyone can follow the highest path and like that. Some people are not so advanced. So there's variety because there's different levels of realization. Like that.
Prabhu? Anyone? Just one point, just to simplify this whole discussion. Srila Prabhupada, most of the time in conversations, he would say that religion is one. Means to love God. So how much you're advancing in that process to love God is it's all the same. That's what he would say 90% of the time. Religion means a process for loving God and to love God. That's it. Yes. It's all the same. There is no difference.
Yes. Yes.
That's how Prabhupada would deal with it mostly.
Yes. Very good point. Thank you. Yes, to know God and to love God. Yes. All right. I think it's isn't time to finish. Okay, last point.
Well, it would help if we knew a little something about the other person's religion, because how would it sound to you as a Krishna devotee if someone came to you, and Christian person say, or Muslim, whatever, and said to you, "Oh, and in the scripture, David says that only the holy name can save God, and this and that can save us, and this and that." But then you say, but the Hare Krishna movement is all based on chanting the holy name, right? But you don't know anything about the Hare Krishna movement, so you come and preaching to me aggressively about how I should be chanting God's name.
Yes.
So if we go to a Christian without knowing their religion, and we start preaching to them, that is not very nice. We should be a little educated about what kind of religion that person follows. It will facilitate the preaching, and they will appreciate it too.
Yes, good point. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Rachimad Bhagavatam ki jai.